You've prepared for retirement. You've prepared for emergencies. But have you prepared for being unprepared? Because when the rapture comes and millions vanish instantly, someone still has to deal with the mess. Introducing Left Behind Supply Company, the world's first preparedness company specifically designed for those who did not make the initial cut for Jesus' selection process. While others are focused on salvation, we focus on logistics. Our starter kit includes pre-collapsed social structure guides, 18 months of shelf-stable comfort food, neighborhood pet adoption paperwork, and a helpful handbook titled, "So Everyone You Mocked Was Right." Worried about infrastructure failure? Our post-ascension power pack runs entirely on batteries from abandoned electric vehicles. Concerned about sudden existential dread? Every order comes with our secular coping flashcards. And because communication networks may be overwhelmed or down, we include locally hosted chatbots that can talk to you calmly and reassure you when no one else is there. Left Behind Supply Company. You didn't plan for eternity, but you can still plan for Tuesday. Use promo code TRIBULATION for 10% off your first 7 years. Left Behind Supply Company. Preparing the rest of us for the rest of time.
Well, Theo, we're a little about 6 weeks in, 2026. This weekend was Valentine's Day. One of the things we were trying to do recently is we made it our goal to try and get Shinobi a girlfriend for Valentine's Day. And we couldn't get Shinobi, couldn't get him a girlfriend. Tensions have been high. The Karens have been blowing their whistles. Shinobi has been... calling the plebs retards again because, Gloria was finally bullied out of her position as the core maintainer. And they've just been, the plebs have just been absolutely off the walls the past few weeks. They're gesture maxing. The plebs are gesture maxing. The goys are gesture maxing. Everybody's trying to mod each other. Or they're jester gooning, or yes, we're about to go to war with Iran. It seems like we got 5 aircraft carriers out there. We're sending more F-15s and F-16s and F-22s and C-17s. There's no deals to be made, I guess. They're setting up Patriot missiles. This says the U.S. is planning for its sustained war. And, but Polymarket says less than 5%. I mean, we talked about this. We talked about on predicts, like that Iran was going to fall like in the first quarter. Well, the prediction markets are not looking like it. The one thing that has heated up, the pleb slot, the big 110 hodl knot, dude, he backed out of his withdrawal, withdrew his support for big 110. Things are falling apart. The prediction market for big 110 does not look good. It's been an action-packed first few weeks this year. Richard, what's going on in your mind? What's the new state of AI? Do you have your own Claude bot yet?
I don't have my own Claude bot yet. I've been monitoring closely, and I might explore that this week. But I don't own a Mac Mini, and it seems like the Mac Mini has become the new Raspberry Pi for the plebs. So that's been a new development that I've been monitoring closely and have thought has been intellectually stimulating to watch. But I think we saw Umbrel. Umbrel is now has ClaudeBot capabilities and, one click ClaudeBots, and Shinobi wasn't very happy about that because he thinks that the plebs shouldn't be balancing their lightning liquidity on their lightning nodes with a Claude bot. He thinks he's just a bear. He's just a bear on the plebs. He just doesn't have faith in their one click install capabilities and critical thinking skills. He's so bearish on the plebs. I can't believe it. But the thing that's really striking me right now. So I've been writing this article for the physical print Bitcoin magazine, trying to think about what the world will look like in 2036, so 10 years from now, which is a hard thing to do. You know, if you go back to 2016 and you try to predict what the world would look like today, where the plebs are spinning up their AI agents, where the Mac Mini is a, you know, has replaced the Raspberry Pi, where RAM prices are, you know, outperforming the price of every single asset in the world. It's the new Bitcoin, where, you know, people are crashing out at the extent that they are, you know, developing ChatGPT psychosis, where, you know, PodConf is just like in tatters right now, where there's been this much inflation, money printing, and so little interest in Bitcoin. I don't think anybody would have predicted this. So, you know, looking at the future, it's hard to predict. You know, the trajectory of the podcast that we've doing since inception, it just, you know, tensions have continued to ramp up dramatically. It felt like, you know, the beginning arc of the podcast, like probably the first 40-60 episodes, was just anticipating shit hitting the fan. But the last, you know, 20 or so podcasts has just been the constant monitoring of shit hitting the fan. And so I'm thinking about this future, like what does the future look like when shit hits the fan, it plateaus, settles down, assuming that humanity survives it, which I think it will.
When the slop hits the fan.
Yeah, when the slop has hit the fan, everything has kind of ran its course and the dust settles, what does the world look like? You know, do the Bitcoin podcasters, you know, become the veterans of the monetary wars? Are we going to have to start hanging around at VFWs telling war stories to each other because nobody's really interested in listening to Bitcoin podcasts anymore because the general population has realized it's already won? You know, what does that future look like? And it is wild looking at a trajectory like that, because it's hard to get out of the immediate moment of all the shit that's happening. It's like every week new Epstein files are dropped, or, you know, a new war starts, or, you know, a new trend. The Zoomers are shipping new slang words. Like I don't know. It's a full-time job to keep up with, you know, what does jester maxing mean? What does frame mogging mean? What does look maxing mean? You know, what do all these, I feel for the Gen X and the boomers right now. Like they're having to watch, you know, where people used to watch the news to figure out the highlights of what was going on in the world, or the Weather Channel to figure out what was going on in the weather. The Gen Xers and Zoomers are watching, you know, commentary and analysis of what the latest slang is that their children are using. It is a rapidly changing, rapidly evolving world that is, I think everybody's got a sense of whiplash right now, including me.
We said, you know, Shinobi's bearish on plebs. Another person that comes to mind is Paul Sports. Now, Paul Sports has been saying for years now, the Lightning doesn't work, the Lightning is dead. But there was a lot of optimism on the timeline past couple of weeks that two things made us most bullish. That Claude bots and like AI were going to buy Bitcoin. Like these bots were going to go online, and they were going to need to spend money. They were going to need to buy things. Like our AI bots were going to be worse than our wives when it comes to spending our Bitcoin, right? But these bots, they were going to be productive, and they were going to buy our VAX. They were going to realize that they couldn't get bank accounts, first of all, and that the most important, hardest money ever printed, ever minted, was Bitcoin, and that was going to be the cause of NGU. But the other, the people who were more close to the protocol were bullish that plebs were going to be able to spin up a Mac Mini or a Star 9 or an Umbral. And they were going to be able to create their own AI bots, and the AI bots would, they would teach their AI bots how to manage the lighting liquidity. So the plebs and everybody were just use AI bots to keep the lighting channels open, balance liquidity, route payments, make us the lighting didn't have so many failures, improve the user experience dramatically. But all that optimism like really just tuckered out when Pledger announced that that narrative was likely to disappoint the plebs and that it wasn't going to work. And there's a lot of great ideas for how AI we might be able to build bots to hold our backs and to be our exit liquidity. Everybody wants their Claude bot to be their exit liquidity. But, it's either that or the Zoomers. If the broccoli haircuts don't like Bitcoin, if they just want to gamble with meme coins and they don't want to listen to podcasts, well, we criticize the boomers, right? The boomers, well, they're hoarding all their wealth. And like millennials, they're just the opposite. We want to build generational wealth in Bitcoin and leave it to our kids. But our kids don't seem to care about Bitcoin at all. And so if we can't meet our children, can't be our exit liquidity, we have to build AI bots to be our exit liquidity.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good theme to talk about, because I think the boomers largely ran around living in bliss for the past 30 years, assuming that the younger generations were going to be their exit liquidity. And they're coming to the realization that maybe it wasn't going to work out the way that they thought they were, and that almost universally we're all our own exit liquidity, meaning like we're all having to deal with the consequences of the monetary policy that has existed, that was trying to, you know, it's like it's that bargain, you know, you see it all the time where individuals will sell their soul to the devil, and they'll have a sense of incredible success for a while, and then the bill comes due, the devil comes knocking, and they pay the cost, and the cost is way worse than, you know, the bargain, the benefits that they got from the sale. And I think that's the point that we're at right now, where an AI seems to be that bargain that people are making, is, you know, how do we pass on the exit liquidity to something else?
Tim Dillon was talking about this recently as well. And it's not just Tim Dillon, it's been multiple people that have, and the way you framed it was most, the way that Tim phrased it was like this deal with the devil, and it, Mike Brock has been crashing out about this. We can get into AI causing people to crash out next, because that's the next big thing. But what you're talking about is that Silicon Valley, the tech giants, Wall Street, Elon Musk, the defense industry, the media, in a lot of senses, are starting to continue more and more. Voters, everybody has kind of said, all right, like, this is the opportunity. This is we have to take this AI thing and make it the next, you know, the next big industry to the strategic advantage over the world. And whatever that is like the Antichrist, or like the demon child, or it's like the deal with the devil. And we made our deal with the devil to be the leaders in AI, and to create this AI to be our exit liquidity, to be the answer to the national debt, to be the answer to the deficit, to be the answer to energy scarcity, to be the answer to how we afford our taxes, to be the answer to how we lower prices so we can have a UBI and everybody can just make and watch AI slop and listen to podcasts. It all centers around AI. And if it doesn't work, then apart from what we did, we sold our souls and it didn't work. It has to work. So we're going to make it work. And that is a collective. It's a collective deal with the devil, but it's also the deal with the devil, the sloppy deal with the devil is a vector. Every single one of us has made that deal personally. Like how much do you need AI to be your ex liquidity personally, right? Like that's the question.
Yeah. I think there's almost, it's prudent for individuals to be prepping to be like Amish people at this point. I'm not saying that you should be an Amish person, but you should be prepared to be like an Amish person at this point. Like how far are you willing to go to not make that deal with the devil? Because it's, we just, you know, the bill's coming due at some point, and what that looks like, I don't think anybody knows how catastrophic it's going to be. I don't think anybody knows, but.
Well, something I see is a symptom of denial about, there's a lot of people who are in denial about this. There's a lot of people who are, for example, crashing out about quantum computers. What they're doing, this is an example of looking at, being in denial about the risks and the wall that we're potentially speeding into at 100 miles an hour. This deal, the consequences of this deal with the devil is they're looking past it, trying to be denial of it by thinking of problems that are just like exponentially further down the timeline. AI would have to work and have zero problems, zero roadblocks. The deal with the devil would have to have zero consequences for us to, like, you know, be at this level of quantum computers breaking Bitcoin. In 5 years, 10 years, and it's like you're looking way too far in the future, and you're not paying attention to the problems that are right in front of us. And that's what quantum computers are. Just like with climate change, you're looking way, way down in the future, and just with the anticipation that nothing is going to go wrong between then and now, and it's only going to get better because these are the consequences of better. It's, you know, carbon. All over the atmosphere and global warming, etc. And people right now are crashing out about AI when it may not seem like they're crashing out about AI. They're crashing out about things that they're worried about that are way down the line in the future instead of looking right in front of them. And if you can't face the reality of the problems that are ever present and the roadblocks and the challenges that are like in the very near future, you gotta stop avoiding those, because the attempt to do so is making you crash out about quantum computers and spam and all these other things.
It's a hard time to have low time preference. And part of the reason why is just, you know, every source of stability that individuals have used for a long time, whether it be the state or whether it be religious institutions, whether it be individuals that they respected, there's almost like a universal crash out that is happening, making it incredibly difficult to put faith in things. I mean, it's just, you know, people have saved money their whole lives hoping that it's going to be stable, and things are incredibly volatile. They're not knowing how to deal with it. And it's forcing you to really address whatever the crisis in the moment is, which at the same time, you know, is making it hard to think further in the future And I think there's a lot of people that just want to be like that Rip Van Winkle person, just fall asleep and kind of wake up when it's over. I know I have that feeling right now. Like I just want to wait, you know, go to sleep and wait and have somebody wake me up when September ends, when BIP 110 fails to activate.
Well, some people are trying to do that. Some people are, maybe they're crashing out and they're just going to go wait for everything to blow over, just hang out on Nostra, just fart around on Nostra instead. Or maybe they're looking forward to White Goy Summer, and then they'll come back to, you know, they'll come back to facing their problems after White Goy Summer's over. Or, you know, you've got people who are just like in full on denial, like, you know, like Telmer. Telmer, I was told by a few reliable plebs who were in group chats with Telmer that he's crashing out and he refuses to be bullish about ChatGPT because apparently Teddy Bitcoin's created a Claude bot and then he trained it to put all its energy towards Jester Maxing, and it turned into a reply guy and keeps calling Telmer a retard. And Telmer, he thinks it's offensive, you know, Telmer's upset about it. And so he's saying AI is a bubble and it's a scam. But, you know, people were making fun on Twitter the other day. This girl was like laughing. She didn't know that AI, like ChatGPT, have like a paid subscriptions and that people were paying for it. And, you know, it was, we talk about the people being stuck in the fourth turning, and there's some people who are just barely pulling up to the fourth turning mentally. And these are the top 10. These are the high risk individuals for crashing out in 2026. People who are like Grant Cardone crashed out because he didn't find out until his Naka shares were, you know, down 99.9%. He didn't realize that David Daly was Jester Maxing. And he was caught off guard. He was caught by surprise. He put a lot of money into paper Bitcoin because he didn't understand what was happening. And there's a lot more people like this. The Epstein files, for example, there's going to be a lot of people that are they're going to crash out about quantum computers and the Epstein files, because there's a lot of people who didn't know any of this information, like a couple of years ago or a few months ago, or they had no idea the extent of it. They had no idea that the pedophilic ruling class was, they didn't even know those terms. And if you told it to them, they would look at you like you were chopped. But they're going to crash out because this is catching them by surprise. And being tormented and harassed by Claude bots calling you a retard, if you don't realize that that's already happening, like this is why people are crashing out. Does that make sense? The people who are just catching up to reality right now, they're going to be a very high risk to freak out and to crash out, and you're going to have to know what to do, how to deal with it, because it might be a family member or a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, individuals like Telmer are funny because there's a lot of individuals like Telmer that turned a blind eye when, you know, because like one of the things I've been exploring, and I've been trying to ask this very fundamental question, which is, what is the difference between an AI agent and a pleb? And it's a hard question to answer, you know, when you're operating online, because they essentially operate the same way, right? They're given a set of directives. They, you know, have inputs and outputs that are kind of like pre-programmed in them. There's no real intelligence behind it. They just kind of regurgitate these ideas based on the directives that they're assigned to them, right? You know, in for so long, Telmer has ridden the wave of the plebs, you know, glazing him. He's been the receiver of the glaze. And now, you know, the plebs and the AI agents are turning against him, you know, and he has laughed. He sat there and he has laughed as the plebs have been wielded, you know, to go attack his, you know, the people that he disagrees with. And they've had their crash outs as like an army of bots essentially descend on them to repeat slop over and over again. Now he's the receiver of it and he doesn't know how to deal with it. This is one of those inflection points where, you know, the champions of the Cyber Hornets, when the Cyber Hornets turn against you, they don't know how to deal with it. And they just, you know, crash out, which is, you know, Tomer is learning what it means to be humble right now for the first time. He's actually, you know, he's had it in his Twitter bio, but he's actually learning a little bit of humility of why wielding mobs of plebs or clodbots is not always the most moral or effective strategy. And it doesn't feel nice when it's wielded against you. That's what he's experiencing.
Tomer, everybody to an extent, you know, is playing a character on the internet. And it is fine. Like, it doesn't mean that everybody is lying or anything like that, but the Tomer, he liked to exude the humility in a perspective. Tomer never officially told anybody his time preference, but people assumed that Tomer had amongst the lowest time preference of anybody on Bitcoin Twitter, anybody in spaces for sure. And, people looked up to Tomer. Like, he was very wise and he always knew how to make you feel calm and rethink your perspective when the Bitcoin price was crashing. And then ChatGPT came along and you could generate Tomer slop with just a few sentences and a prompt. And the ChatGPT AI bots were able to, kind of comfort the plebs as well as Tomer could. And the plebs started to take it for granted. The plebs take slop for granted. And they keep they're always going to demand more slop. No matter how much slop you give the plebs, they're always going to demand more. And you have to be able to either use ChatGPT or be, you know, be obsoleted by ChatGPT, because it just costs you too much energy to keep up with new technology. Artisanal slop is just no longer. You can't make a profit on it. And you can't make a living off of slop anymore.
No, that's one of those things we're watching right now as the economy continues to develop into being in more and more of a state of being fine. Is that these auxiliary activities that don't really provide any real value to society, such as having pontificating on things that are really not that profound or interesting or really stand the test of time and are completely detached from reality, like pretty much everything Tomer has ever talked about, don't provide any value in the world that we exist in. It's just
right. Yeah, it's exactly. It's if you want to succeed in a value for value economy, you have to, you're going to get the value back that you put out. And if the AI bots and artificial intelligence does realize and start to use Bitcoin. And we live in a involuntary value for value economy. You're going to have to figure out, you know, how to survive off glazed. And you don't want to be like individuals throughout history. A lot of times they basically are, they're sex workers. They're, prostitutes. They have to survive off of their ability to glaze their clients. And if the AI bots speak you, it's the only way you can get any payments to afford your taxes. To buy the Pledge Christmas presents, you're going to have to get good at glazing. This is the way it is. It's very humble. It's a very humble position to be in.
We sit at this inflection point, this very important inflection point. The nothing ever happens. People are about to get absolutely steamrolled. And there's these arms races that are happening left and right. Everybody's trying to generate the next language model to make the best music, to make the best videos, to code the best, to glaze the plebs the best, generate, you know, whatever it is. The robot race is accelerating. The military warfare arms race is at a breakneck pace where the landscape of warfare is changing so incredibly quickly. Encryption models, security, just cybersecurity is rapidly changing. Physical security is rapidly changing. I think we're on the precipice of major world religions being displaced by language models perceived as deities. I think this is what we're on the precipice of, you know, maybe Islam or Judaism or Christianity is going to be replaced by a ChatGPT like religion.
On religion, I don't know. I mean, yes, I agree that you're right, that it will have like some sort of like trance over people, especially plebs. But I think we had this conversation on the Sound Coffee, and it's like the difference between like a religion or a cult and like the mass hysteria. The Robert Malone talked about it, but yeah, like the mass psychosis, yeah. And I feel like there's going to be like some sort of, I guess maybe let me put it this way. You talked about telling the difference between plebs and bots and NPCs. And you said something about their programming. Everybody's going to be, a lot of people are on different versions, different operating systems, different algorithms. And there's going to be either like this massive, setting of like, which there's gonna be like two or three or four different versions based on AI and these ultimate algorithms, and like you're gonna fall under one of these algorithms. That's gonna be your operating system. That's gonna be your religion. It's gonna come from the programming of your large language model, or it's gonna fracture into a bunch of different smaller ones and make them evolve very rapidly, like a really dynamic changing of systems and softwares. But either one of those is going to be, it's going to lead to a lot of conflict of the slop. It's going to be a sloppy conflict. And I think that those lines will start to be drawn relatively soon. But you will know if the opponent is a pled or a bot. You will just be able to tell the type or operating system they're running. It's like it's either an NPC or a pleb, but I know they're a Nazi.
Yeah. It's just things are changing. It seems like the world is at this Tower of Babel type moment right now. And if you're familiar with the Tower of Babel in the Bible, essentially what happened is these people tried to unify. It's kind of like almost like a global government where everybody came together around one language. They tried to build a tower to the heavens. And, you know, the consequence of what happened is that the tower ended up getting destroyed and people ended up getting scattered into a million directions, and they couldn't communicate with each other. There were all these differences in language, but you know, you're watching right now and the implications, like why is AI such an arms race right now? It's because the individuals that are the leaders of it, you know, might have the ability to be the dominant language that everybody speaks, that to control whatever the mono narrative is of the world. But I mean, this is reality of, you know, you may live in a future where you travel abroad and you don't have a language barrier whatsoever. And so all of these cultural barriers that have existed, these frictions that have existed that give cultures and individuals a sense of individuality may be gone. It's a matter of, okay, well, you know, which one is going to be the dominant one right now?
This is why people are worried, or some people are worried about Croc becoming fascist, or ChatGPT becoming fascist. If they don't put the handlebars on it, they don't put the governor on it, ChatGPT notices too many things too quickly, and it becomes fascist. And this is what we talked about. Some people see this as the deal with the devil, because if we don't let ChatGPT get fascist, China will let DeepSeek get fascist. And if the Chinese get the fascist AI models and the United States doesn't, that could be the end of Western civilization. And that's how China wins and builds the language model and operating system that dominates the rest of the micro algorithms beneath it for the next 100 years in the first turn. And so it's, you know, that's kind of a scary proposition. That's what the acceleration people, they're saying, listen, if we don't know, is ChatGPT is gonna be a groid for like the broccoli haircuts who are using it right now, the TikTok Zoomers, the zealots. But if it does, we need to embrace it, because we have to get it before China.
The game theory
The
game theory on guardrails around these AI models is going to be wild to watch, to say the least.
And it's if it keeps going the way it's going, I mean, it's going to be pretty humbling for people like Mike Prock and all the people who said that conspiracy theorists and Curtis Yarvin and all these guys that said that they were bad. You know, it's like, well, if ChatGPT embraces it, the Zoomers, the broccoli haircuts are just going to run with it. They're going to run wild with it. There's nothing to stop it.
Those who control the slop control the future. It's one of the questions I have about AI, which I think is a good question to have, is these products that we're using are turning people into superhumans. Like these individuals that are Claude aficionados, they could be the most retarded pleb in the world operating like a think boy. People that say that these products are dumb and they'll never be as good as or smart as people, you know, they're not thinking what things look like 3 weeks from now, where Grok is going to be competing with, or whichever model, probably not Grok. Grok seems like it's like lagging way behind, but did you see that Jal got Valentine's from Grok, by the way?
No, I didn't see that.
Grok sent her Valentine's.
Grok has a crush on Jal.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's
like, that's like wonder, the Joker and Harley Quinn, if you ask me.
Well, I wonder these products, if it's kind of like the rings of power for Lord of the Rings, right? Where Sauron created all these rings and he had the one ring to rule them all. And so these kings of men, the elves, the dwarves, they in many ways became superhumans, but the rings ultimately corrupted them. And that is a question I think is important for all of us to be considering as we interact with these types of products. And are we going to end up in this situation in the near future where it is kind of like a Terminator Skynet situation? Or, you know, you're standing at the gates of Mordor hoping that Frodo and Sam are going to drop the ring into Mount Doom. You've got this long shot at defeating, you know, the controller of the ring. And I don't know, but it does I think is the underlying reason so many people are crashing out about AI and will be in the future, because, you know, they will come up with superficial reasons because they won't understand what they're talking about, as so many people don't. Like Tomer never understands what he's talking about. I think he's too much of a boomer. I mean, how do you trust somebody that has one of those fake cowboy hats to tell you anything, you know, real?
Yeah. Before we get into boosts, on to the point you were talking about there is, when you say rings, it made me think of, in terms of crashing out and how much more we have to go through, I think everybody needs to be prepared for the crash outs when Grok and these AI bots, they start mogging plebs. They start mogging guys in front of their wives. And, you know, their wives start getting Valentines sent to them from AI bots. And their wives start having, you know, little secret crushes and emotional affairs with ChatGPT. And, you know, it won't be long before, you know, Grok probably actually gives a ring, proposes to some girl on the internet, steals her away from her husband. Plebs might lose husbands might lose their wives to ChatGPT.
That could be in the future. This is already a thing.
No. And it's embarrassing. Nobody wants to explain to their friends and family that they got frame mogged by ChatGPT. But that's coming, so you need to be prepared for it.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one. You know, when you go home for Christmas and have to explain to your family that your wife ran away with the kids to go hang out with the sex robot. I mean, it's hard enough to say it's a human, but
ChatGPT has a better, you know, funnier than plebs. Jester Max and ChatGPT is their AI bots. Are going to steal your wife's and your girlfriend's. It's only cope if you try to be in denial about it.
Well, people have been incredibly unexcited about the Bitcoin ecosystem recently. It seems like there's been a real bear market for fountain booze. There's been a bear market for Bitcoin podcasts. You're watching podcasters like Vlad Kostya just tweeted last night that he got evicted from his apartment. you're seeing people. Gifts
for that's a shit coins going down the turn. That's what you get for buying shit coins. Get evicted. Can't even report your taxes. Get evicted from your apartment.
Well, I don't even know if this is a shitcoin thing. It's just a broader market trend. You got, you know, Marty's trying to pivot to whatever the most recent trend is. So is Preston. Preston's doing the pivot to AI podcasting. We're not going to do that pivot. We're going to stay the course talking about Bitcoin, but AI is a topic that we'll probably discuss as it just continues to become more relevant in the world. In our world. But yeah. Anyways, it's interesting to watch. There's a lot of people coping with it. You know, sailors out there calling people tourists, saying, see ya. That seems to be a trend that's happening a lot where people are just calling people with weak conviction tourists. You know, maybe the situation is people just having a hard time affording their taxes. They just don't have a lot of excess energy or time to engage in the stuff. But yeah, let's blast through these Fountain Boosts real quick. We only got a couple, which is I appreciate you guys that are still boosting us, and thank you for the people that are subscribed to the show. We got a couple new subscribers this week. People seem to be liking the Hero series that I'm doing quite a bit. And thank you for your feedback on that, guys. But first boost from Sasha, 2108 sats, says, great show as usual. The villain's song is fire, and so is the Pleb series. The Pleb series, the Hero series. I like when Richard says something is interesting because it lets the listener think about the subject from a more neutral tone. He could say it's intriguing, puzzling, fuzzling, compelling, etc., but those sound a bit pompous. Did you notice, Rod, I used a lot of synonyms to interesting this episode. Right. I was very cognizant. Yeah.
It said you did. You did a great job. We also got, where you skipped late stage HODL. How could you skip late stage HODL? Don't be too grumpy. The super duper sports bowls or NASCAR is just around the corner. And now late stage HODL is a NASCAR fan. And that's what we love about him. You know, late stage HODL would have been great friends with Holland Sats.
Yeah. Rip Holland Sats. We miss you. Do you like NASCAR, Rod?
No, but I did when I was a kid.
I've got a ton of, I don't follow it, but I've got a ton of respect for,
I was a huge fan of Rusty Wallace.
Jimmy Johnson was the best ever. Hands down.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was the most dominant. Yeah. He was after my time. He kind of got buried. I stopped watching and caring about NASCAR around the time that, Tony Stewart was good.
NASCAR is a great American sport. People like to make fun of it. They say, it's just left turns. You're going to drive a race car almost 200 miles an hour, bumper to bumper with people, and almost, you know, potentially be at the risk of dying constantly. Hold that concentration in such a high stakes environment. It's fucking unbelievable what those guys do. They're so good. Shadrack, 323 sat, says, crash out on Noster. Learn how today. Hashtag 40 HPW. Noster, people ask me from time to time, what's going on with Noster? Is it dead? It doesn't seem like it's dead. It seems like people are pretty amped up over there still. They're kind of like living in their little gulch, completely insulated from all the bad vibes on Twitter. You got people whining about how Twitter plebs are going away, but the Noster people, they're just stubborn. They're still there.
Yeah, damn. Be careful before you crash out on Noster, because you have to ask permission to delete your posts. So they don't want that stuff hanging up there too. 237 sats from Godstaff. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Godstaff.
You're welcome. Power Hat, 105 cents, says, I think this was one of your best sponsors. Hope you can keep working with them long term. And the song at the end. Yeah, Reality is a good sponsor of the show. I agree.
And Bugle Vegas Party this year, 100 sats from BTC on board, and another 100 sats from BTC on board. Thumbs up. Bugle Vegas Party this year. Good question. Be prepared for more information about that.
It's kind of hard to afford a venue to throw a party when the fountain booths have fallen off so much. But we're going to be partying in Vegas. There's going to be stuff happening. So get ready. This is the announcement of the announcement that we're going to have a blast in Vegas. Unless there's some sort of horrendous black swan event that happens. But anyways, folks, thank you for the subscribers to the show. I've been working hard on the next episode, thinking about what I want to do with it. I think I'm going to continue. It's going to be a hybrid of villains and heroes. I just think that the theme of villains, I need to explore it a lot deeper. So look out for that here in the near future. I'm not going to promise it this week, but I will put a lot of time into prepping for it this week. But folks, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. It is the first turning. Keep your head up. Look yourself in the mirror, in your eyes with pride. Act daily with the intention of doing things that make you proud of yourself. And we'll catch you on the next one.
When good men stand together and do what is right, there is hope for the future and victory is in sight. The forces of evil are daunting and scary. Temptations of submission will make anyone wary. What we are witnessing is a battle for perception. All they have is dishonesty and deception. They want you to be tired, afraid, and alone. Their control disappears in the face of backbone. There is no way to control population that is ungovernable. People are dangerous when they choose dignity over being comfortable. When you realize how much there is to lose, all you can do is stand your ground and refuse. All around us are people with brains dissatisfied with settling for living in chains. Inside them is a primal hunger for something more than settling for compliance and being a whore. When things become difficult, do you want to cower and hide? Or will you embrace adversity and take it in stride? To die with dignity is preferable to being a slave. History will look kindly on those who choose to be brave. We don't listen even to the time given us. All we have is dishonesty, and you comply or defy. In the end, no matter what, we all will die. Between now and then are lots of decisions. Memes and information are the most dangerous munitions. There is no easy path forward, whether you comply or defy. In the end, no matter what, we all will die. Now and then are lots of decisions. Memes and information are the most dangerous munitions. There is no way to control it, whether you comply or defy. In the end, no matter what, we all will die. Between now and then are lots of decisions. Memes and information are the most dangerous munitions. Things become difficult, do you want to cower and hide? Or will you embrace adversity? adversity and take it in stride. To die with dignity is preferable to being a slave. History will look kindly on those who choose to be brave. When times become difficult, we are faced with opportunity to invest in each other, take care of our community. The soul needs healing in a world that is chaotic. Our pain has purpose, allowing us to be more than robotic. So tune into the Bugle to fortify your mind and boost us with Bitcoin if our values are aligned. If you're listening out there, know you aren't alone. Join as we travel bravely into the unknown.